Could it be possible for meditation to become a bad thing? Yes, I'm talking about mindfulness meditation practiced by thoughtful, kind people everywhere to reduce stress, anxiety, to treat depression or high blood pressure. Joining us now is Miguel Farias of Coventry University in England. His new book is The Buddha Pill. Can meditation actually change you? Miguel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
In your book, you describe some of the potential negative side effects of meditation. That's something I had never heard of.
Yes, most people have never heard of it, but there's actually research showing that it can have all kinds of adverse effects. And this ranges from increasing your level of stress. For instance, a recent trial which used only 3 days of mindfulness meditation, it led to an increase in biological levels of stress in those doing meditation in relation to those who are just in the control group. And an earlier study showed that long-term meditators, over 60% of them, experienced at least one negative effect, which can be a rise in anxiety. But 7% of these suffered severe mental health problems, which could vary from depression to a full-blown psychosis. Meditation techniques were designed to actually challenge and rupture our sense of everyday self and reality. So it's not unsurprising that they can lead to mental health problems.
It seems like right now, mindfulness meditation, for example, is very popular in hospitals. Doctors say, hey, why don't you try this? It's not going to hurt you. So how come we're not talking about this?
Yes, that's a very good question. I think there are two main reasons. One, for the scientists who are using this, they've stopped thinking about what this means. They're just using a technique. Oh, yes, this has worked for this. Let's try it out. And they're not assessing the potential negative effects. The other reason, which again hasn't been studied enough, is that people are clinging on to meditation as a sort of spiritual tool. They're looking for something which allows them to connect with themselves. So, for instance, in Britain, which is mostly a secularized society, we get the impression that people are looking for something. And this idea of a secular meditation technique, which allows you to sit down and be in touch with yourself, is possibly a replacement for religion.
I wonder, though, when you meditate, it's a pretty intense focus inward. And I'm wondering if that is what is upsetting to some people who might be better off focusing outward.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. There are some studies which show that most of us have problems with sitting down and being just with our thoughts. And the greater your difficulty is with being in touch with this, the more difficult and upsetting it will be to meditate. There is a wonderful image by a Hindu Swami that we interview in our book. She says that meditation is very much like cooking. When you cook, the scum comes up to the surface. It's a beautiful image, but it's a serious image. So we are dealing with a powerful technique which can genuinely transform you if you do it properly, if you have proper guidance. But if you don't have proper guidance, it can lead you to unexpected, difficult places. As a scientist, I'm concerned that the science of mindfulness is becoming a mindless science.
But you yourself meditate, right?
Yes, indeed. And I have benefited tremendously from it, but I have also had experiences of how meditation can lead me to disconnect from reality and from my own emotional problems. So,
how so? Describe that a little bit.
I can remember times in which I was going through personal emotional problems and I tried to meditate them away. So rather than engage with them, I could just put myself in this nice meditative cocoon and disattach myself from these problems. Another common problem which happens with many people who go on meditation retreats, and I felt a bit of this, is that you can have wonderful, even blissful experiences for 2-3 days, but if you're not prepared on coming back to everyday life, it can be rather overwhelming because you're in a different state of mind.
The book is just out. What kind of backlash are you preparing for?
So yes, the book is just coming out this week in the US, and it came out last week in England. And we've been getting all sorts of comments. Some of these comments are by very angry meditators who are claiming that this is nonsense. Meditation can only do you good. It can't do you harm. On the other hand, we're getting, some poignant emails by long-term meditators who have experienced these adverse effects but have come out on the other side, but have struggled with this and feel this is a long due conversation.
And generally speaking, I suppose the benefits outweigh the problems with meditation.
Yes, I hope so. I tend to think so. However, we do need to discuss very openly what is it that we're engaging with. So for instance, here in the UK, there's an attempt to bring mindfulness into schools. The idea is very simple. Some say that it's like oral hygiene. Like 100 years ago, you started teaching children to clean their teeth, and this has been a tremendous contribution to oral health. So the same would happen with introducing mindfulness into classrooms. It would work as a sort of mental hygiene. And I think we have to be careful because cleaning your teeth is not the same as sitting down with a powerful technique which can change your state of mind.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Miguel Farias is a researcher at Coventry University in England. His new book is The Buddha Pill: Can Meditation Actually Change You?